Kyle says, push the button. I did. I can hear me now. That's terrible. Acts 28. Does that bother anybody that I said it's the last chapter of the book of Acts? Why does it bother you? That shouldn't be the last chapter. We should be still writing chapters today. That is the birthplace of the New Testament church. That is our roots. That is who we are. We look at the book of Acts and go, oh man, that's spooky, that's wild, that's crazy. That day of Pentecost, I don't know, that would kind of scare me. You know why? Because guess what? We should be sitting there going, I want that. I don't know about you, but I kind of like reading where the church came out of 120 praying in an upper room and preached one message and 3,000 people got saved. That might be our problem. The church no longer gets together and gets one mind and one accord. We don't get all of our heads together and say, let's pray and seek the Lord and don't do anything until He enters the room. If you want to know what my prayer was this morning, this whole service so far was, it was like this: God, please come in here and wreck this place to the point that we can't do anything. I was sitting here going, man, it's getting closer and closer for me to go up there and preach, and I hope that I don't get to. I hope my people are just getting so wrecked in the Spirit of God that all of a sudden they'll just start getting up and just falling in the altar and weeping and crying before God and saying, preacher, we don't need you to say nothing. It's been done already. That's what I was hoping for. But I guess God tucked a word in my pocket for a reason. This message today, I'm telling you right now, it kind of stinks being a pastor. You know, it does. I'm just going to give you the truth. It stinks because sometimes I know some people that need a good word. When I was putting this message together, or when God was putting it inside of me, I said, these three or four people need this message. Praise God, they need it. Guess what? They didn't even show up. So if you ever think that I prepare messages just for you to show up, praise God, that would be a hard thing to do. But I come to the understanding, and I know this is pretty generic, and it could be said just probably about every message I preach, but this one's a matter of a fact. If you are a Christian here this morning, let me slow that down. If you are a Christian in here this morning, this message will be a truth to you. Either it has been, or it will be. Or it will be again. Amen? Is there anybody in here, you don't raise your hand, don't say nothing out loud, especially if you get embarrassed easy. Is there anybody in here that is not too proud of their past before they got saved? Okay. Y'all took me literally on that thing. Okay, good. Well, we're reading about a man, because I'm going to put you in fine company. We're going to be reading about a man today who, when he first started, his main goal was to kill believers in Jesus Christ. Let me explain it this way. You can't get much worse than that. I don't know what you've done in your life. I don't know how you've cooked it out. I don't know how you brought it to bear. I don't know what your sin was, but I guarantee you most of you in here weren't killing Christians. You weren't killing believers. The man we're talking about, he started killing believers. He thought he was doing it for God, but it doesn't really matter why you think you're doing it. Killing people ain't cool. Might want to make a note there. And when they were escaped, you see in that Acts 28:1? And when they were escaped, then they knew the island that was called Malta. It's called Malta. This is kind of easy for us. We just start up right here in Acts 28. We're like, oh man, they arrived on the Isle of Malta. How did they arrive? Some swam in. Some came in on big pieces. And some came in on big and small pieces of a ship that was torn apart by the sea. Paul told everybody on the ship, said it wouldn't be smart for us to sail at this time. And they sailed anyway. And all of a sudden, their problem became so big and so destructive that God destroyed what they were sailing on because he wanted them to land on the Isle of Malta. Amen? Have you ever thought you had some problems only to arrive at a bigger problem? There's been times in my life that I've prayed to God and I've said things like, "Oh God, get me out of this mess. I hate this." Only to arrive 5 minutes later at something and go, "God, I'll take that back. Give me that situation back. That weren't bad. This is bad." Amen. They are sucking for air. I don't know. It's cool for the ones who can swim if you're a swimmer. I can swim. But for the people who can't swim, the ones that are afraid of the dark, that ones like if they threw you off like in the ocean and you couldn't see land, but you thought it was in one direction, and you just kind of started trying to get there. Just imagine that. All of a sudden, you're on the seashore, and you're scared out of your mind. Roughly, there's about 225, 230 people, and Paul is a Christian amongst these people who are prisoners. Paul's washed up on the shoreline, freezing cold. Shivering, shipwrecked, alone with all these prisoners and guards. And at one point, I don't know if y'all have read much out of 27, but the guards thought, the first thought they were, "We don't want to watch, we don't want anybody to escape, so let's just kill them all." Boy, praise God. Has anybody in here, man, y'all are so, I don't know, maybe I'm not doing a good job. Is there anybody in here that got saved and you didn't think he was going to make it? Like you shouldn't, like literally you shouldn't be sitting here. Like, y'all think, I'm trying to be cool about it, but listen, I've been saved almost 20 years. Man, I'm almost saved 20 years. Man, I'm not supposed to be here. There were times where I thought I wasn't going to make it here. I was surprised. I am surprised. I still got to kind of pinch myself sometimes. I still kind of look over my shoulder when somebody says, "Hey, preacher, hey, man of God, hey, leader." I'm like, "Oh, me. That's me." Because I'm not supposed to be here. I wasn't supposed to be here. All of a sudden, I got saved. And what weren't things supposed to get better? I mean, didn't y'all think when you got saved, I mean, all right, now I'm going to get to go to church with all those other folk, and we're going to look good. I mean, because, I mean, we come in here, I mean, 99.9% of y'all this morning, Scott was right, y'all look great. Y'all do, man. Y'all look amazing. There's nothing going on. We went through that whole worship thing. Man, none of y'all got anything going on. That's crazy. Man, but guess what? Paul washed up on that shoreline. And I know what the first thought was. His mind was, why am I here? Is there anybody in here right now in the moment in your life going, "Wait a minute, why am I here? I thought we'd just be rolling along with God, singing, you know, just singing songs along and just going, you know, just following him right into the gates of glory. I thought it was going to be easy." Paul's sitting there and he said, "Look at this." And the barbarous, let's just call it what it is, the barbarians. The barbarian people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. It was raining and cold, Gary. And dark. And all of a sudden from the wood line, you're seeing people who can't even talk your language. That don't look like you. You're like, "Oh my gosh, Lord, can we get back on the pieces of board and paddle back out?" And all of a sudden, you're like, "Man, what are they going to do to us?" And all of a sudden, ain't it amazing? Sometimes people who shouldn't be, they are kinder than you, than the people that are not barbarians. The church, the ministry, they're going to love me. No, it's the people that you got to watch that part of town. You got to be careful around those type of people. You got to be watch those. All of a sudden, they start building the fire, putting the fire together. And they're like, "Hey, what are we going to do?" And all of a sudden, they're like, "They can't. What are you?" And they start making seats around the fire. They're cold. They're shivering. They're shipwrecked. They're hanging out with people that they never would have thought about hanging out with. Jesus will take you to places and put you around people that you never thought you'd be around. Man, that's what you got involved with. God is a people God. If you don't like people, and I don't care what kind of color they came in, I don't care where they came from, I don't know what their background is. If you don't like people, you're not in. You got to love people. Golly, bum, they're sitting around. Can you see them? I can put myself there. But I can still, while they're doing that, I'm sitting, I bet Paul's thinking to himself, golly, bum, could I not got a better way to roam? God, Donnie, have you ever thought this way? God, can you not do this easier? I mean, couldn't you put me on like a big fortress of a ship and I sail right through? And then walk into Rome and just speak to the emperor and the emperor gets saved and next thing you know, hallelujah. God doesn't work that way. Sometimes God works through your successes and then even works even greater through your failures. And you're sitting there praying against the failure, but God's saying, I need you being the failure because I'm going to get ahead of myself. Watch. And when Paul, watch this right here. Y'all are not going to believe this. Watch this. Eli, watch this in verse 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. That is crazy. Have you ever seen a preacher picking up sticks? Come on, Anna. Dang. She just killed me right there in front of everybody. I've never really seen a preacher work before. And I see some of y'all back there laughing too hard, Lamar. You was like chuckling, like, ha, 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 ha. Man, a preacher picking up sticks. I mean, he's picking them up. He's picking them up, bundling them up. I'm going to take them over to the fire. Man, I think, man, this has got to be one of the world's greatest fires if the preacher is actually doing something. Y'all missed your opportunity to be amening and shouting in this place because some of you right now, it's right there. I can tell. Some of you are like, I want to see men so bad right now. God, amen, brother. Y'all want to throw a javelin, amen, on that deal. He's walking over to that fire, and he's got it all bundled up. And they're all like, man, I can't believe there's actually a Christian doing stuff to help everybody. 225, 230 lost people, 200 prisoners. And guess what? We ain't going to pick up a stick. Amen? I think Bible says, take up your cross and follow me. That's two sticks. Amen. Sorry, I'll get that later. But he gathered stick, and as he was throwing it, as the heat fastened on his hand, guess what? As he was throwing the sticks on the fire, see, snakes don't operate very well in the cold and wet, but he took it to the fire. God, I could preach a whole series from this right here. Why does the snake wake up around a fiery church? Because guess what? When the fire's burning, the snake wakes up and starts doing stuff. Some of y'all are wondering why people are dealing with snakes or the devil or the enemy. Because it's hot in here. And I ain't going to lie to you. Every Sunday, every time I'm turning the heat up. You know what I said when I came this morning? I really don't care what they do. I don't care what they look like. I don't care if four shows up or 400. I'm going to preach the way I preach. I'm going to say it the way God told me to say it. I don't care if we're cold or hot. I'm just going to go in there and I'm going to yank the knob off. That's what I told God this morning. If they let me preach, praise God, they're going to get it. He said, takes it over there and that snake is dead cold in them bundle of sticks. It's dead cold. When he threw it in the fire, it came alive. Don't be surprised if the snake comes alive because you're doing something that's on fire for God. Because snakes revive in the heat too. Amen? But all of a sudden, that thing comes alive and snatches him right on the hand. Paul, that's why preachers don't do that. That's why you don't move bundles of sticks. You leave that up to the people who know what they're doing. I love it around here. I'm being honest with you. There are certain times I show up to certain things around here, and they're making decisions, they're looking at it, and they're working, and they turn around and they do it laughingly. But they say, hey, preacher, what are you here for? I guess you need any help or anything? No, 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 just go back across the street before you hurt yourself. I see your smart aleck stuff. That's all right.
But I always turn it around on them, Ed. You know how I turn it around on them? I say, hey, we don't have anybody to speak today. You want the microphone? Oh, no. No, not me, brother. I have a hard time saying things in public. Watch this right here. He threw it in there, and that fasted on his hand. This snake, this big old viper is hanging off his hand, and it's hanging there, and everybody can see it. Everybody can see it. It's kind of comical at this point. Shipwrecked, beaten, stoned to death. I mean, you just kind of got to laugh. 2021, you just got to kind of laugh at some stuff. I mean, man, you got this big old, you made it through the worst part. You prayed and arrived, and you got people sitting around the fire looking at you, and you're the only Christian there, and you're working. And you're working. You're working your own program. Golly, Bob. You're working on stuff. You're doing things. I ain't going to run a list on you, but you're doing things. You're doing what you're called to do. You're operating. You're not lazy. You're not inconsistent. You're showing up. You're doing what God's called you to do. You should, of all people, you shouldn't have been bit. This is getting crazy. God, why are you going to let me get bit? I'm the only believer here. Why are you going to let me make it to the shipwreck and then me die? Why do you want to hurt me? Sometimes as Christians, don't we do this? Why am I getting hurt? Why am I the one? I seem like a target. God should have protected me from getting bit. But watch this right here. Verse 4, and when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hanging off his hand. That right there, that word saw is a bad word right there. It should be when they expected. They looked at him with expectations. Some people are looking at you with expectations. You got saved, and what a testimony you got. This ain't about lost people committing sin. This ain't about Christians who are backslidden committing sin. This is about you who were a terrible sinner, got saved, got on the right path, worked your program, started heading towards God, were doing great things and about to do greater things, and you got bit. Let me tell you something, folks. You're going to get bit. He got bit. And you know what? When you get bit, everybody's going to, I want to give it to you. And it's going to happen more in the church than anywhere else. Watch them now. Watch her now. Talked all that Christian stuff. Talked about getting saved, getting delivered. Talking about come to church. Talking about praying. Talking about running around telling everybody what God did. They got bit now. They got bit. You know what? They got bit. And all of a sudden, Paul just, watch it right here. It's good. Yeah. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. I could do a Taylor Swift thing right there. Just, I shouldn't. I ain't. I'm not. Players going to play. And haters going to hate. I ain't going to do that. Just shake it off. Just shake it off. No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that in church. I did it in church and I got away with it. See, he just shook it off. Sometimes you get bit and you got to just shake it. I told Melissa, I said, I ain't going to do that with Peyton there because Peyton will give me a hard time the rest of the week about doing shake it off in church. And I'm just willing to take it. And he's mad at me right now, but I said, all right, he'd get over it. He just shook it off. He shook it off and sat back down, and everybody's expectations started, and they were looking at him, and they're just waiting for him to what? Watch this right here. And they sat among him, and no doubt this man, wait a minute, they were expecting him because, and among them, no doubt this man is a murderer whom he vengeance suffered to him, howbeit he looked, when he should have swollen and fallen down dead, suddenly, after a while, had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Well, just what happened was, and I know I read that terrible, you don't have to remind me it was a bad reading, but he all of a sudden, Paul got bit, he shook it off, and he sat down, and everybody's looking at him, he goes, just wait, the swelling's coming, and after the swelling, he's surely going to die. He's just going to swell up and die. That's what most Christians do when they get in trouble. They just kind of swell up and die. Everybody's looking at him. Can I tell you right now? Everybody's looking at you because you got bit. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? First things first, you got to shake off the bite. If there ain't... I should say this in better English. If there isn't any swelling, and if there isn't any dying, then you are bit for a purpose bigger than yourself. You got bit so all 230 people plus all the barbarians can now look at you and start to assume that your God is bigger than your situation. That you are now spotlighted and headlined. That now all of a sudden you didn't get bit to die. You didn't get bit to swell up. You didn't get bit so everybody could say, oh, poor so-and-so. You got bit so everybody can listen to what you're going to say next. What you're going to do next. How you're going to act next. What your attitude's going to be. I'm going to praise the Lord in this. I'm going to share my testimony in this. I'm going to tell everybody that I'm all right because God is good. He saved me from a bad place. He's taken me to a good place. If you met me before I got saved, you can understand why a snake bite ain't going to set me back. Some of y'all right now are going, God, why'd you let this happen? Some of y'all need to stop asking that question. And you got to say this, since you let this happen, they ain't nobody going to watch me fall. They ain't going to nobody watch me give up. Matter of fact, I'm going to redouble my efforts. I'm going to show out for God right here. Now that the spotlight is, everybody wants me to swell up and die, but praise God, I'm going to stand up and testify on this right here. They're going to see a different me. Praise God, I'm not dying in this. Woo! Him barbarian, they sitting there for a while, and all of a sudden, golly, I wish some of y'all, I mean, just every once in a while, come out of your old self and just kind of just praise on this thing. Wouldn't it be cool if somebody, all of a sudden, they're just watching, and they change their minds about God, and they change their minds about you, because the first time, you didn't act a fool, because something didn't go your way. Paul's just sitting there. All he was doing was sitting there. He wasn't checking the wound. Oh, no. Oh, no. He wasn't swelling up. He was dying. He just sitting there looking at him. Hey, guys. Good to see y'all, too. Thank you for the fire. It's amazing. Man, this is one of the best. This is one of the best bonfires I've ever been to. You guys can really do this. I really appreciate it. From that shipwreck, I'm starting to, my clothes are about to dry out. Man, praise God for y'all. Praise God for letting y'all meet me and meet you. Man, y'all are good people. I just love y'all. Thank y'all for being a part of my life. Man, and they're all sitting there going, they started changing their minds. They said he was cursed. They went from you are a cursed man to you are a what? You are a God man. They were way off. He's not God. He just works for him. Amen? But if you stick around long enough, people will start saying, wait a minute, you got some good stuff about you. This is what you can tell. Man, you got, you're, I've had people mistakenly say some stuff like, man, you're really close to, you really are something. And I'm like, no. I know somebody. I know him and he knows me. Praise God, he put his spirit inside of me. That's the only good thing about me. Amen? Because listen, I'm going to be honest with you. There's still a lot of me in me, and it ain't good. If you say something, if you see something good or experience something good about me, it's of God. If it's bad, it's me. Amen? That's all you're getting. You're getting if the bad, it's me. But if you're saying, oh, man, oh, Kevin, he's good, he's spiritual. Praise God, my man's a rotten animal. He's a terrible person. Amen. God didn't make me good. He didn't. I wish I could tell you that, Ed. I wish God had made me a good man. He didn't make me a good man. He just brought my spirit man to life. Now I've got a spiritual man living in there next to an old dead guy. And that old dead guy is just as nasty as he's ever been. But that old spiritual man in there has got a good, strong voice. Whew, God, I wish. Ain't y'all glad for that? Ain't y'all still, y'all got that man in there who says one thing, but the spirit man says, no. Man, I love my spirit man. He talks, he don't talk loud, he don't talk bold. He just says it, matter of a fact, and he says it so opposite of what my physical man is, I know he's right. I'm sorry. Let me explain it this way. My physical man, I can't preach this to nobody else but y'all right here, okay? My physical man says, curse them out. Told you. You'll see their faces. My spirit man says, pray for them. It's so opposite that I know it's God. I know y'all don't curse people out. Don't even think about it. Y'all are so spiritual. I can't believe he said curse people out. Yeah, I know y'all don't curse nobody out. I know y'all wouldn't do that. All right, let's go a little further. Hey, man, y'all ready? Let's go to verse 7. In the same quarters were a possession. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us up for 3 days courteously. Man, name your next child Publius. Be that brave. Man, the island leader is named Publius. He was a tough guy to live under. No, I'm sorry. That's just, man, do y'all never ever read the Bible and just go, man, that's pretty cool, old Publius. It's a weird name to me. Publius, who received us and lodged us for 3 days courteously. Okay, guess what? He got bit, the spotlight changed on him, and all of a sudden minds changed, words changed, actions changed. When he first showed up, he was just a criminal who showed up on the shores of Malta. Now all of a sudden, because he got bit and let God work through the bite, all of a sudden now he's talking to the king of the island. Now all of a sudden, 3 days, he's moved into the palace of that place because God is working through the bite. Are you, man? I'm going somewhere. Yeah, we ain't even got to the good part of this message yet. Marcita, this thing's going to be amazing. It's going to be off the charts. And Marcita's like, why are you yelling at me? I didn't come to get yelled at. Sorry, it's just part of the message. What's this right here? And it came to pass, verse 8, that the father of Publius lay sick of the fever and of the bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him. I love this. All of a sudden, Paul's in the house with Publius, and he's having dinner. And about the third day, and I could see maybe on the third, you know, like they keep hearing the coughing, and somebody, and Paul's like, you know, all of a sudden, like, what? Why am I here? You know, what's going on? And what's going on in that other room over there? And he goes, hey, Paul, I just want to see you because I heard that you got bit by a snake, and those snakes are very poisonous in our region, and you should have swelled up and died, but I brought you up here because I wanted to examine you, and I wanted you to have you around, maybe around the house, and maybe could help me, you know, kind of figure out. I wasn't just going to blow it up and ask you, but I was just kind of wondering. My dad, he's really sick in there, and I'm scared, and I don't know what to do, but you seem to know God, and I don't even know who God is, but I thought if I got you close, then maybe you could work on my dad. I got somebody that needs you in my family, and I thought maybe if I could just put the person in here who's walking a miracle, you could help him. And Paul's like, why don't you take me to my dad? Take you to your dad. He walks him in the room. See, y'all ain't let it sink in yet. He walks him in the room, and he goes, what's wrong with your dad? He's got a bloody flux. He's dying. Paul said, oh, okay. And he takes his hands and lays his hands on him and prays, and he receives a healing. But wait a minute, Ed. It says he lays his hands on him. But Chris, ain't this the same hand that got bit? Ain't this the same hand that just a little while earlier, just 3 days ago, they thought it was a curse? So now he's taking the same hands that were a curse and bitten and bad and laying them on somebody for a healing? Wait a minute. How's that happen? I can take the thing that was bad that happened to me and put it on your life and show you how to heal. Listen, I'm talking better than you think I am. I'm telling you right now, if somebody else got bit by something, you don't have to die from it. If somebody else should have died, but they didn't, and they come and prayed for you, you need to listen to them. How did you get well? I got well through Jesus. Because I got bit, I am here. God used my weakness, my pain, the thing that I went through that I shouldn't have went through to get me here. You know what's next on that? Do you know what's next on that very next thing? Not only did he pray for Publius's dad, but it says, and he prays for everybody else, right? So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Those hands were put on everybody who was sick in the region. You didn't get bit. You didn't go through it as a Christian, as a believer, walking for the Lord by mistake. Whatever the devil, whatever this world meant for evil, God meant for good, to save many,
people alive. What you must do is take what the devil, if it didn't kill you and you didn't swell up, now you got to say, you messed up. Because we're not going to shut down on this thing. We're going to get closer to God. We're going to get into God. Let's all stand as they come get a song. It constantly reminds me, and I know y'all get tired of me preaching it, but it's my favorite. It is my favorite character in the Bible. As I get older, I just know it is my favorite character, and I'm not ashamed of it. I don't run from it. I don't hide from it. But it's Mary Magdalene. She's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. She lost her Jesus. Seven devil Mary lost her Jesus. Lost him. He was crucified right in front of her. Buried in a grave. And I guarantee you, everybody that knew Mary Magdalene prior to the day that Jesus saved her said once she got saved, if she didn't have Jesus, she'd just go right back to living the way she was. If anything bad ever happens to her Jesus, then she will just go back to living an old, dreadful life that she had before. If anything goes out of the ordinary that don't go on that perfect plan of Jesus, then she's just going to go right back to those seven devils and live the way she was going to live. Mary Magdalene, on the day of resurrection, was the first woman in line to see and touch dead Jesus. She didn't run back to anything. She ran to the thing that changed her life. Let me say this. I want y'all to hear this and get it solidly in your mind. She ran to something that she thought was dead. And it was greater than it had ever been in her life. She didn't find dead Jesus. She didn't find alive Jesus. She found resurrected Jesus. You say, what are you telling us, Kevin? Why are you saying that? I'm telling you this. If you've been hurt, if you've been broken, and you have this thing in you that's saying, maybe I should run back to anything but Jesus, let me tell you, if you'll run to Jesus right now, He'll be better to you than anything you know. Amen? He'll be better to you than anything that you could. Because right now the devil's, he's on you going, run to this. Run to another person. Run to another situation. Run to another job. Run. But you know what? The Spirit of God's saying, come to me. All that you are heavy laden, burdened and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. You want some healing? Come to Jesus when the enemy and the world, their expectations for you is to swell up and die. Nope, I'm going to live. Anybody else in here?